Hello again, Ray Yurt with a few more thoughts on the Word of God. This is talk number 7 in a series where I'm answering the question, what is the Bible all about? In this talk, we come to the book of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy is a transliteration of a Greek word meaning the second law. Now, Moses did not give 2 laws or 2 versions of the law, but rather he gave a repetition of the law. So it was the second time the law was given. And in the book of Deuteronomy, you have Moses repeating the law and giving some explanation to the people of how God wanted them to live in the land he was about to give them. The repetition was necessary because the first generation of the people who came out from Egypt, the adult generation at that point in time, refused to go into the promised land. So it was their children who were entering in some 38 years later. The children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years in total. During the second year, they came to the promised land, but the adult people feared to go in, did not obey the Lord in going into the promised land. And now, as a nation, they had come to Canaan again after wandering in the wilderness, and their children did go in. They did occupy the land. And as they prepared for entering it, Moses repeated the law. So we have this book of Deuteronomy. Moses was a very effective preacher. When God called him to go to Egypt to be the means of deliverance of his people, Moses said, "I'm not a good speaker." He said, "I'm slow of speech." But when we come to the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament and Stephen is talking about the history of the children of Israel and the man Moses, it says he was mighty in word and in deed. You may be a slow speaker, but you may be very effective in what you say. And Moses was very effective as he made this repetition of the law and this explanation of how people should live, how God intended the Jewish nation to live. He was a person who, when he spoke, commanded attention. He was not afraid to be forceful and direct. He was not afraid to repeat himself when he wanted to emphasize some point. He was not afraid to make personal references. He was not afraid to be dramatic. He declared the truth and he declared the whole truth. And as he spoke, he demonstrated an intimate knowledge of God. He was able to give words of encouragement. He was able to give words of rebuke. And he was not afraid to place on the shoulders of his listeners responsibility for obeying. He was a very effective preacher. And we have his messages here to this new generation in the book of Deuteronomy. He spoke about God's covenant. He spoke about marriage. He spoke about diseases. He spoke about human tendencies. He spoke about practical living, about God's laws, about false prophets, about holiness of life, about compassion, about religious observances, about giving, about justice, about the priesthood, about atonement, and so much more. And there is so much to learn from the book of Deuteronomy. It has so much information in it that when the Lord was being tempted by the devil, that time when the Lord went into the wilderness and was tempted on several issues by the devil, each time the devil came to him, Jesus quoted from Scripture, and every quotation was from the book of Deuteronomy. It has some tremendous material in it. It has guidance for those who would listen to people who do say that they're bringing the word of God. If I read you chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." He was teaching them how to sort out between the truth coming to them and error coming to them. The book of Deuteronomy has the great commandment in it. Chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." It's a marvelous book. And I want to read to you the last chapter in the book. I want to read it because it emphasizes how great this man Moses was. Moses served the Lord very faithfully. But there was an occasion when he went beyond what God told him to do. And as a result of it, God said, "Even you, though you have led my people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land, you yourself will not be permitted to enter the land because you have gone beyond what I told you to do." And then we have this chapter that finishes off the book of Deuteronomy. "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there.' So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And God buried him." Isn't this amazing? God did not want Moses to be worshipped. He had been such a great man, there was the danger that he would be almost deified. So God buried him in a place where no one would know that he was buried, and they could not make anything great of his burial place. God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all that great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Moses was an amazing man, and thousands of years after he has died, he is still a colossal figure in the nation of Israel. He gave them a law, and they still follow it. He gave them books for their scriptures, inspired, of course, by God, and they regard them as the most important books they have. Moses was an amazing man, and he made an amazing prophecy. When we turn to chapter 18 and read verse 15, Moses said this: "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst and from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Now, I said that every book in the Bible speaks about Jesus Christ in some way, and Moses was here prophesying about the coming of Jesus Christ. God said to Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." He prophesied of the coming of Christ, someone who was greater than himself, someone who is God, very God, someone at whose name every knee shall bow, someone who came and died for our sins and conquered death. We need to pay attention to the words of Jesus. We need to pay attention to what we're told about him. How we respond to that will determine how God judges us. He will require it of us. I want to read some words here from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and reading from verse 1. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in his house." Here was the one of whom Moses spoke. This is the greater than Moses. "For this one who has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who built the house has more honour than the house, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end." Moses spoke of a greater than Moses to come, and that one is Jesus Christ. Moses was sent as a deliverer of the children of Israel, and he brought them out of oppression in Egypt and brought them to the promised land. Jesus Christ, as God the Son, has been sent to deliver us from the oppression of sin, and to take us to the promised land of heaven. What we do not want to miss as we read the Word of God is the essential message in the Word of God, that we are sinners, that Jesus Christ came to deliver us from sin, and that our only hope of salvation is by accepting him as our own personal Saviour. May the Lord bless you as you think about these things.